Thank you for joining us again for worship here at Pleasant Valley South. Today, we are live at our worship center and also in our Family Life Center. We have some live stream issues, and we're bringing you today, our watching audience, our recording of today's message. I invite you to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I thought that'd be a great text to study as we return to our church facility to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we're his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I was reading a story the other day about an older gentleman who decided to go camping. When he set up his camp, he decided, I need a campfire. Then he said, I'm going to boil water and make coffee. I'm going to get out my fry pan and fix a whole pack of bacon. Well, he got the water boiling. He added the coffee. The bacon was frying. And all of a sudden, he heard the rustling of bushes. Just sounded like an earthquake just beyond the clearing. Trees were falling, bushes were being leveled, and all of a sudden the biggest bear he had ever seen came out into the clearing. But it was a strange sight, because on the back of the bear was one of the biggest men he had ever seen. The man had the bear by the neck, and in the other hand he had a 7-foot live rattlesnake he was slinging around in the air. The man reached over and bit the head off the rattlesnake, threw him in the bushes. He jumped off the back of the bear, got in front of the bear, and threw a knockout punch, and the bear fell knocked out cold to the ground. This big gentleman walked up to the old man and said, I believe I'd like some of that coffee. So he took the whole coffee pot and just poured it down, just in one big gulp. And then he reached there on the fire and drank all the bacon grease. And then he picked up all the hot bacon, and in one swallow the bacon was gone. And he looked down at the old gentleman. He said, I'd like to stay and talk a while. But he said, there's a man chasing me that is one big, mean dude, so I must be going. When we think about that, we know Christians, and then we know strong Christians, the giants of the faith. Today I want to share with you from Psalm 100 about what makes a strong church. At the heart of being a strong church, we must be people known by a very grateful heart. The Bible is filled with verses about giving thanks. I thought this was appropriate for today. Psalm 122, verse 1, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord to worship. Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, in chapter 12, verse 31, said, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall, also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Wow, he just wouldn't bow, he wouldn't bend, he wouldn't break. Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 27. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, here's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you read the old commentaries while you're researching Psalm 100, it's referred to as the old 100th. The psalmist is describing public thanksgiving of God's people in the house of worship. Well, we're grateful to return. So let's see if we are a church with a thankful heart. A church with a thankful heart, a grateful spirit, first of all, is concerned about the place where we worship. Verse 2, we're told to come before His presence with singing. Where are we to come? Look at verse 4. Enter into His gates, into His courts. The scene here is the Jewish people coming into the temple to offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. Psalm 100 was actually used in the offering of thanksgiving. The temple was that sacred place that bore the name of God, and we find God's people assembling together to worship the Lord. You know how blessed we are to have this facility at 702 Pleasant Valley Road. We have a nice worship center. We have two gymnasiums. We have several education buildings. We have 45 acres here. We can offer recreation, discipleship. We've got state-of-the-art educational facilities. Our music facility is absolutely second to none. We have all this technical equipment, sight and sound, so that we can come to you over your iPad, your electronic device. We have all these things that God has given us. Then there's plenty of parking. We have air-conditioned buildings. We're just so extremely blessed here at Pleasant Valley South. Well, I want you to know this is a special, sacred place for the assembling of God's people to worship and to be involved in ministry. So the place has got to be special, and we've got to be thankful for it. And then the people. Notice the commandment of God. This assembly, or their coming together, was commanded by God. There were specific feasts when they were supposed to come together. And the people were to come together to celebrate the annual feast. The word come there means a call to an assembly. It's a call to obey the commandment of God. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you come to church? Well, some people say, I come to church to see my friends. Well, that's good. It's amazing. People choose a church 68% of the time because friends and family go to that church. Well, we go for the fellowship. But the ultimate reason why we come to church is because God has not made it optional. He's commanded His people to come together on the first day of the week. We're to be in church, and we're commanded not to forsake the assembling together of God's people. I've shared with you before about a saint who's now in heaven. Her name was Mildred Pilcher. She was a faithful senior adult member in the former church that I pastored. She lived across the street from the church. When I moved there to become her pastor, she was about 80 years old. Her glasses were as thick as the bottle, as those old Coca-Cola bottles in the bottom. She was legally blind. She would come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. She just didn't miss. And oftentimes on Monday morning, she'd call to encourage me and let me know that she prayed for me that day. She was a tremendous prayer warrior. She felt so helpless because she couldn't see anymore. And I believe with all my heart, the last 4 or 5 years there that I was her pastor, before she went to heaven, that she came to church by memory because she couldn't see how to walk to that place. What a testimony of faithfulness to God's house. If somebody was writing about you or me, about our church attendance, what would they say about us? Now notice the commitment that is required by God. When I come to church, I'm to be more than a spectator. The Bible says we're to be participators. I'm to be a worshiper. Look at Psalm 100. It rings with a cheerful and celebratory involvement of all who are assembling. They're not only coming, but it says they're personally getting involved in worship. Now, I don't think I'm being judgmental when I say that most people that come to church do not get involved in worship. They stand there with their mouths closed, looking around, watching everybody else participate. I read about an interesting court case the other day. It involved a man by the name of Dave Van Ness of Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan. Warren Jones knows the pronunciation of that word. And this may surprise you that he was taken to court by his church because he was disturbing the service. And what he was doing was saying, "Praise the Lord," in the middle of the service. So the pastor and the members got tired of it. They took him to court under the charge of disturbing the peace. I want you to know the charges were dismissed. I read that and I thought, I wish everybody could be charged with disturbing the peace in the service. I mean, if everybody here said amen at one point in my sermon, I'd probably lose my place. We come to worship, we're to participate in worship. The other thing, the precious person we adore. The focus of their celebration was the Lord Himself. We come to church, it's not about the preacher. It's not about the singers. Or at least it should be about the Lord Himself. He should be the one that we're thinking about. He should be the one who is magnified and glorified. Look at verse 3. He says, "Know you." They were saying that there's certain truths that need to be understood about God. And what is it that we're to know and understand about God? We're to know, he says here, that He is Lord and that He is God. In this psalm, there are two names of God that are used. In the Bible, names always had some kind of significance. Names in the Bible were given to people. Those names were to describe their character. They had meaning. My name, Phil, means lover, but it means lover of horses. I don't even like to ride horses. I don't trust horses. I don't mind a merry-go-round, but I don't like live horses. They're fine animals. I just am afraid of heights and don't want to be on them. The names of God have special significance. His names are a revelation of Himself, who He is. God has a plurality of names because there's not one name sufficient to describe His nature. You ever think about what worship is? Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." The key to the worship of the church in Thessalonica had nothing to do with the instruments, their orchestra, their singers, their musicians. The key to worship the church of Thessalonica, he says here, it was done in the power and in the Holy Spirit. The touch of God was on the worship of the church in Thessalonica. Their worship was not dull. It was not monotone. It was not formal. It was not mundane. God had taken it out of the hands of men and into the hands of the Holy Spirit. I was reading an interesting definition of worship the other day I want to share with you. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open up the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. Somebody condensed that. Here's what they said. Worship is the believer's response to all that we are, to all that God is. I can remember back in the day when I'd go to church and the choir would file into the choir loft. The accompanists would take their place at the organ and the piano. The pastor and staff would walk in line, single file line on the platform, and then the deacons would all come in single file and take their seats on the front row. Well, it was a church like that one day. Everybody took their seats. Church services were always boring. Right in the middle of the pastor's sermon, One of the deacons on the front row just slumped over on the one next to him. He died of a heart attack. Well, one of the other deacons slipped out the door to call for the EMTs. The EMTs showed up. They had to examine seven deacons before they discovered the dead one. Sometimes our church services are like that. Sometimes our worship is like that. By the way, since our God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living, true worship will be divine in its focus, and it'll also be dynamic in its format. Notice he's the eternal one. Four times in Psalm 100, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5, you will notice the name is in all capital letters. You'll find it spelled this way to identify this specific name. It's elsewhere translated Jehovah. Here it's Yahweh. It's a very sacred name to the Jewish people. When the scriptures were being recorded, the scribe would be there and he'd come across this name Yahweh and he would put down his old quill and move aside his well of ink. He'd bring in ink that had never been used in a well and a brand new quill, and then he would dip it into the ink, and then he would write the name Yahweh, and then he would dispose both of the well and the quill. It speaks this name of him being eternal, endless, timeless, and ageless. God has always been, always will be. He is the eternal I am. So when people came to worship, they came to worship the true and living God, the ageless one. Notice he's the powerful one. He's above all. Look at Psalm 100 and go to verse 3. And that's the name God there. That's the first name God ever revealed to us when he let us know who he is, who he was, who he always will be. We find that in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. That's the name that speaks of God being almighty and the all-powerful one. And after revealing himself in Genesis 1:1 as God, he then demonstrates his might in the words. He says, he created the heavens and the earth. What a great example of his might and his power that superseded by no one and nothing else. He has the power to create the universe. Well, then look at the praise we offer. The heart and soul of Psalm 100 is that when we come together, we're to come with a thankful heart. Every service where we come together ought to be a thanksgiving service. We ought to come in the door just thanking God that we have the health to be present in this place. As we see how we're to come to church with a thankful heart, we see the matter of personally expressing thanks. You can't read this psalm without seeing the personal matter of thankfulness. We see God's people coming together, each one participating in worship. Each person came to express their thanks to God. And when it comes to being thankful, each and every one of us has so much for which we ought to be thankful. The problem is, we get accustomed to all God has done for us, and we've forgotten how blessed we are. Notice they publicly expressed their praise. Look at verse 4. There's a word there, thanksgiving, and there's a word thankful. They're actually two different words. One of them means to hold your hands out to God. The other word means to raise your hands, offering thanks to God for what he's done. Now keep in mind that Psalm 100 describes a public experience of thanksgiving. This is not talking about making a spectacle out of yourself. He's just saying that, and we're not trying to make charismatics out of everybody. That's not what we're trying to do. But he says when you come together for public worship, it's okay. It's acceptable. It's also acceptable in the eyes of the Lord to physically express your appreciation to God. Psalm 100 is full of visible and vocal expressions of public thanksgiving. Look at verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? It is one word that means, hold on to this now, split the ear of somebody else. We have a sweet lady that comes here from time to time. She gets out in the aisle with a tambourine. And you know what she does? She splits the ears of the people up and down that aisle. We love her, Sister Elaine. But you know what? She's doing what God called her to do. Somebody says, well, that hurts my ears. Well, you know what she's doing? She's worshiping with a joyful noise. That's Psalm 100. Look at verse 2. We read that we're to serve the Lord with gladness. That speaks of a happy assembly. This time of worship to be marked by great joy and happiness. Church shouldn't be just a subdued occasion for just rituals and formalities. Why should we be thankful? Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. God's goodness and mercy ought to be enough so that every believer would be able to express their worship, their thanksgiving in public and in private. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're here on the campus, are you glad to be back? I'm going to share with you, preaching to an empty building every week is just not easy. People say, why does the pastor keep looking back and forth? There's nobody in the auditorium. Well, that's the way I was trained 39 years ago. And now I've tried to lock into a camera in my manuscript. I want you to know our praise band, Mark, Muriel, Jennifer, our soloist. It's been difficult. Somebody said, well, Billy and Mark, they're not social distancing when they're singing their duets. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not been producing these services being concerned about your criticism and your ratings. We do this to minister to you and for the glory of God. We're going to make mistakes? Yes. We're going to mispronounce words? Yes. I invite you to try it. But it's something that we were willing to do so we could stay connected, so you'd have an opportunity to worship. You say, well, I'm so glad to be back. Well, I want you to take a second look. Notice how quickly our freedom to worship can be snatched away from us. All because of a pandemic, we were told we had to shelter in place, and we needed to do that. And now we just look out over our congregation here in the Family Life Center, and we look at our congregation here in the Worship Center. We've had to come up with a new configuration so we can have that 6-foot halo around everybody so nobody gets infected with COVID. People have been saying, well, you know, I just been so anxious to get back. Pastor, you got to open. Please open quickly. Please open quickly. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been thankful for the freedom to worship up until shelter in place? The last 5 years, all across America, church attendance has been in a steady decline, Pleasant Valley South included. We're one of the few churches that decided we'd give you an opportunity to come back on Sunday nights. You know how many people come on Sunday nights for worship? About 8% of the people that come on Sunday morning. Well, we've chosen, for your convenience, to be open on Wednesday nights. And for adult worship, you know how many people show up? About 4 or 5% of the Sunday morning worship. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not been thankful for the freedom to worship. Thankfulness is expressed by faithfulness. Well, Sunday night's my family time. Oh, Wednesday night, we've been real busy. Oh, our child gets religion courses at school. They don't need what you offer on Sunday night and Wednesday night. That one service, that one Bible study that you miss, it might be that one Bible-based message that absolutely would shape your life forever in God's kingdom work. People are demonstrating in the streets. We've got riots. We've got people disrespecting our police officers. Their stores. I heard the other day that in America, 450 Starbucks are closed. And I'm sure that's going to put many of you in the DTs and you're worried about that. I heard that several big jewelry chains are closing their doors forever. Here's what nobody's going to care about. The Southern Baptist Convention announced last week they have done a study of all denominations in America. Baptist churches, other denominations, and independents. And in the next year, since this pandemic, between 30 and 50,000 churches in America are closing their doors forever. Does that bother you? You think America appreciates that freedom to worship? Before the pandemic, counting all denominations and independent, mega churches to the smallest, do you know what the average church attendance in the average church is in America? Or at least it was before the shutdown and shelter in place. 80 people. Is anybody demonstrating in the streets about that? Are people flooding into houses of worship because they're concerned about that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're a nation that has lost our fear and our reverence for God, and most of us don't give a flip about how many opportunities we have to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the other thing that's amazing me is how many people serve in our churches. They really serve in our churches, but they cut all the worship services. They never come to hear the preaching and the teaching of the word, but they serve in other places. That absolutely astounds me. The Lord says in Hebrews, forsake not the gathering of the saints together. America needs revival among the Christians in this nation. Do we appreciate our freedom to worship? I'm reminded of a recent Doonesbury cartoon strip. The comic strip, the pastor of the church stood up to make the announcements. He said, I want to tell you all about the upcoming events. He said, now we've, at a certain time on Sundays and Wednesdays, he said, we've got a nutrition class. And he said, then we got an organic gardening class. And he said, then we've got a volleyball tournament here at the gym and an aerobics class. And he got through his announcement. He said, now, are there any questions? And somebody raised their hand and said, are we going to be able to have a worship service? And the pastor said, no. He said, we're having a self-esteem class that took the place of our worship service. You know, I think it's wonderful that our churches can provide all these opportunities for education, entertainment, recreation, and all the rest of it. But never lose the sight of the purpose and the pattern for the church. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship Him with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, is He who made us, not we. ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, praise his name. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Are we a great church? Are we a strong church? A great church and a strong church is a thankful church. And the numbers for worship don't lie. And as we come out of this pandemic, we'll be able to test our thankfulness by our faithfulness to enter into the house to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. We have to confess to you, we live in the wealthiest nation with the most freedom of anybody who experiences in any country around the world. But in the name of ease, comfort, and pleasure, we have forsaken the opportunities you've given us to this point. And now we have people who would like to turn this into a Marxist, socialist nation where worship services will have to go underground. Help us to stand strong, recommit our lives to living for you with a thankful heart, worshiping you privately and publicly in spirit and in truth. Maybe you're listening today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's very simple. Jesus lived a life that was perfect. He died on the cross to willingly offer his life and shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. He rose again that we might have eternity with him in heaven. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on his name and invites Christ into their heart shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? There's some of you that are listening today that really need a church home, and we invite you to come and participate with us. But the place you need to go to church is the place that God guides you to as you prayerfully seek his will, and he gives you peace to plant your spiritual gifts in the ministry of that Bible preaching, Bible teaching, evangelistic, missions involved church. Lord, thank you for meeting with us today, and help us to be known as a faithful church because we have thankful hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for watching and listening today. We invite you to come meet with us here in person on Sundays at 10:30. We have a capacity of 400 between the worship center and the Family Life Center, where you are safely distanced in compliance with all the state and federal mandates. We're taking reservations every week. You can go online or you can call the church at 706-234-1841 to make that reservation as well. You must do that weekly. We have not banned any age groups. We just ask that if you have pre-existing conditions, that you make a very responsible decision. Today, if you need to talk to somebody about accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord, we invite you to call that same number, 706-234-1841. Leave a message. And on Monday morning, one of our staff members will call you personally and counsel with you about having the most important relationship in your life here and throughout eternity. Hope you have a great week. And thank you for being a part of our worship today.